You are listening to Waiting on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey!
Yo, yo,
what's up?
Yo.
What's going on?
What's happening? Good. I'm good. How are you?
Who are we? Are we waiting on reparations? Are you Dope Knife? Am I Lingua Franca?
We certainly are. This is Waiting on Reparations, the show where we talk hip-hop and politics. And I guess all the things in between.
All the things in between. What we got in between this week? What you been up to? What's on your mind?
Oh, I had a birthday over the weekend.
Yeah, happy fucking birthday, you big old birthday bitch.
Yeah, you know, birthday weekend, what can you do? You know, you gotta celebrate. I don't usually celebrate the birthday, like, all out every year, you know what I'm saying? I guess the older that I get, I feel like, oh, man, it's really only, like, a celebrate it, like, every, like, 3 or 4
years. It's like a leap year birthday.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I didn't, like, necessarily go all out. We are still in the middle of a pandemic, you know, just hung out with some friends, took it easy for the first time in a long
good,
time.
Good, 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 good. Did anyone else important have a birthday on Monday? Saturday this week?
I don't know if I would say important, but I mean, you know, like, you know, it could be, you know, certain, you know, great American
Any
figure.
Prominent revered. Communists have a birthday recently.
Possible holiday inducing men.
You know, rioters, degenerates.
Yeah, look, people who get their messages, you know, kind of manipulated through time and used by people who weren't necessarily on their side.
Anybody who the FBI urged to kill themselves have a birthday recently. I get this weird feeling. There was a guy. Some kind of man.
This is starting to sound like the longest running dad joke that has ever been. So you guys all know who we're talking
about. Martin Luther King Jr.
The man, the myth, the legend. What did you do for your MLK Day? I mean, it is a holiday.
Well, from a mixture of just logistic challenges of having a tiny human strapped to my soul, and as well, calls from the King family themselves for no celebration until passage of a voting rights bill. I didn't really do much in terms of public appearances of any kind. I just kind of spent the day listening to some old speeches of his and just kind of reflecting on how hated he was in his day. Like, I was, you know, perusing political cartoons from the King archives from the time, you know, folks, you know, like, there was one where he's like officiating a mixed marriage of like a white and black character with one of them has on their back like the anti-war movement and the other is like civil rights, and it's supposed to be like, oh, like a interracial marriage with this dirty scoundrel scalawag. There's another one where like he's sitting drinking at a bar. And, like, this small child is grabbing his coat, like, come back, dad. And, like, the little child is, like, labeled as the civil rights movement. And then he's drinking out of the bottles of, like, anti-Vietnam and, like, communism or something. And it's just like, bruh. So many of the moderates, like, he called out. And the thing about listening to the speeches is he calls out bipartisan fuck shit, like, Democrats and Republicans being shitty, and you know, the letter from Birmingham jail, calling out the white moderates, even like the moderate ass bitches out here, like the fucking Chuck Schumers of the world, would have reviled this man and vice versa.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody would have reviled him more than the right wingers out there who, more than anybody, claim his message to be their own, as if what Martin Luther King was actually like, as if like the dominating, you know, thing about Martin Luther King was, hey, I don't see race. Why, you know, it's like, I find it hard to believe that, I think we've talked about this before, but I find it hard to believe that a 20-year-old Martin Luther King right now would be, if you would be hearing Ben Shapiro, you know what I'm saying? Like, name drop their quotes.
And it's not even hard to like learn about what he was about. Like, I'm sure you could extrapolate whatever you want from like half listening to his speeches in the background while you work, like I was doing on Monday. But like,
yeah,
there's so much more than, like, you know, the colorblind, like, the single word they try to draw from, yeah, like, you know, I have a dream or whatever. Like, literally all it takes is turn on this thing. Okay, I got this really crazy thing called YouTube. You go on there and you Google in the YouTube, I hear the kid say, for his name, and it will give you a bunch of his speeches where you can actually hear the shit he said. And it's like, so, like, it's not even hard. It's like zero intellectual curiosity from these motherfuckers. But, we're like, you don't even Google it to see what this nigga was out.
Like, I don't think that it's like a lack of wanting to know or anything like that. I think that's the point of it. I mean, it's a reason why, you know, the conservatives are quick to drop the I Have a Dream speech, you know, from Martin Luther King. But then behind the scenes, you know, a lot of the, you know, components of these anti-CRT legislations is to literally make the letter from Birmingham, like, banned, and they can't teach that or teach any other aspect of what he said, you know, as if, like, all of Martin Luther King's involvement in the civil rights movement was, I think, you know, judge somebody by the content of their character, not by the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure he said more. And even that, I'm sure there was, like, there was a context to it that I don't think a lot of these right wingers are using in good faith. But, I mean, you're right. Martin Luther King was a brother who was giving it to everybody. And he, you know what I'm saying? He was not having it. So definitely a lot of the moderates who think that they're down with MLK probably wouldn't be now. But, you know, I think it goes without saying that if Martin Luther King were here to defend himself, like, there's no way that, you know, the Laura Ingrams and Bill O'Reillys of the world would think to name drop him if he was here to get on TV and be like, yo, don't mention my name in y'all's shit.
Now, like, I'm not going to say it's, you know, it's fucked up that he got assassinated and shit. But what I will say is that I have also been, you know, y'all on the show hear me talk a lot about, like, liberation movement history that I study. And so I've recently been reading Elaine Brown's autobiography. She was the only female, like, chairperson of the Black Panther Party. And so in studying, just, like, learning more about her and her role in the Black Panther Party and what she did afterwards, I watched some interviews with her recently, and it's bad. She is not cool anymore. And then you think about...
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean, she's just, like... Well, first of all, there's no, like, ideological coherence to, like, the thing she says. Like, I saw this one interview where she was, like, defund the... Like, no, literally, so she starts... Oh, she opens the interview saying, back in the day, we used to talk about offing the pigs. And that was a great slogan. Let's bring that back. Okay? And then later on was critiquing, I guess, the young people she was talking to, saying, defund the police has gone too far. And y'all are, like, y'all need to get out and talk to more Black people because Black people don't really want to defund the police. So it's just like, and then she gets on this rant about pronouns and it's like the language police. And so I say all this to say, a lot of our leaders who we still have today didn't really keep up with the radical spirit they engendered as young people. You know, talking about Eldridge Cleaver, fucking, I don't know, even to a degree, John Lewis with, like, you know, didn't always hold it down for quite everything. But so I feel like it would have been, I don't know, it would be interesting to see what it would be like if folks like MLK and Malcolm X were, like, here today, what positions they would hold today.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. But, I mean, it's like, again, I just know that they used to call the brother communist.
Yeah.
You know, like, even before there was any, they, you know, they used to call him communist without even any understanding of whether or not he actually was a communist.
That's still true.
You
know, that's never saying? Not been true.
It's never not been the case, but I'm just saying, like, again, with that said, a 20-year-old race and socially conscious communist, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's no way any of them are, like, are giving him any sort of props for anything that he says.
Period.
Anything.
Period. Well, we give you props.
And then, you know.
Sorry. Go on.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, sorry. No. You know, this year was it fell on MLK Day, but my birthday. I mean, because usually it doesn't. You know.
I was about to ask, like, how does it feel every single year? Everyone's like, well, there was it's MLK Day.
There was a point in time I remember where, like, whenever I would share with people, like, the other famous people who have my birthday, because there's a couple other cats who do have my birthday. I think me and Michelle Obama share the same birthday. Jim Carrey has the birthday. I think, like, Kid Rock, Muhammad Ali or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I share a birthday with, you know, not Kid Rock, but I share a birthday with some cool cats or some famous cats. And I remember for a long time there was a period of whenever I would tell people that, like, oh, this famous person has my birthday, I would always just include MLK in that because I thought that his birthday was on my birthday. And then
I think,
you know,
a lot
later
of
on
people
in life,
don't,
like,
understand that Monday was not his birthday. I kind of fucked that up a couple times, not gonna lie to you.
So what is it? Like, what is the, like, what's the
it's
thing
the third
about
Monday
that?
In okay, January, so yeah, and so it's like near his birthday, but like. They keep the date the same day.
Okay. I feel you. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Well, shit, I mean...
Props to the nigga.
Yeah, props to him. I'm gonna pat myself on the shoulder,
happy birthday,
too.
Bitch.
When I was a younger man, you know...
When,
like,
I was a young warthog! Sorry, what?
They weren't expecting black men to live past a certain...
Yeah, look
you
at
know.
You! You're almost older so than MLK was when he got domed.
Oh, shit. I don't even want to think about that shit. Oh, God. Anyway.
Anyway.
what are we getting into
so
today?
So we got a little bit of everything. We're going to talk a little bit about Young Dolph and a little bit of that... tragedy and controversy. Kanye doing Kanye. We're going to talk a little bit about stuff going on in Russia and Ukraine. So a little bit of everything.
And we will be right back with that after we take a little break. All right. So we are back. So what's the first story that we're going to get into today, Mariah?
So I'm sure most listeners know about the death of Young Dolph. How long ago was this that actually I should have? Hold on. Let me pause.
Maybe like a month and a half.
Let me pause and pull up some source on this so I don't fuck up the details.
It was November 17th.
All right. Okay.
Died.
So Young Dolph was he Tennessee based? I fucking forget everything.
Yeah, Memphis.
Okay,
Memphis.
Yeah. Let me try this again. So, as I'm sure listeners are already aware, Memphis based rapper Young Dolph was shot and killed on November 17th of last year. He, you know, had peaked number 35 on the Billboard Hot 100. He's coming up in the game and struck down in his prime. But then last week, one of his suspected killers, who was wanted by the police, dropped a new song on the day that he also announced that he would be turning himself into the authorities and was later arrested. So this other Memphis rapper named Straight Drop, also known as 23-year-old Justin Johnson, dropped a music video for his new song, Track Hawk, and then the next day was apprehended by U.S. Marshals in Indiana and charged with first-degree murder. The weekend prior, Straight Drop posted a message on his Instagram story in which he said he was going to be turning himself on Monday. He was innocent and he'd be back soon, but we'll see about that, as he is now in police custody and has clearly not really been taking this situation too seriously.
Too seriously. Well, I mean, so I'm very curious as to what your reaction is to this story.
Man, I really, you know what? I'm one of those people, as you know, again, listeners of the show know, that always tries to find the systemic and underlying causes of a lot of just fucked up shit that happens. Because I think that ultimately you have to uproot that in order to change situations, right? But I've been recently encountering a lot of examples where people just do dumb shit. And like, I'm having to face the fact of, first of all, like, you can't evade discussions of public or personal responsibility forever. Like, this nigga decided, like, you know, people was looking for him, and maybe he was, like, getting a little acclaim because folks knew he was a suspect. And when it didn't ride that to, like, drop a fucking music video, and, like,
I mean, look, again, you know, going off of the words of, you know, it's always weird with these stories because it's like, all right, so dude's being accused by the cops and I don't want to, you know. But I mean.
Right, allegedly shot.
Yeah, allegedly. But again, you know, a lot of this, it's consistent and it makes sense. I don't know if it's a generational thing or what. I don't know. It's a social media driven sort of thing. Again, I don't know, but. God, and we want to talk about not having sources. I forget the name of the rapper, but just a couple of weeks ago, another, you know, similar situation with a young New York rapper who they've got him on camera, you know, or allegedly, I'll say, on camera. It definitely looks like him, but committing a murder and then later on the same day, like, flexing on Instagram.
This shit is wild.
In the same designer gear that he just committed a murder on, that was in broad daylight, in the middle of the street, that, like, you know, and it's almost as if there's, like, no, like, understanding that it's like, yo, I'm on camera, and...
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned in a recent episode that I went and spoke at a bond hearing for a local rapper and friend, like, loose friend that was charged with attempted murder, and spoke on, like, the stuff he'd done in the community for the kids. And then the prosecution in the cross-examination purely focused on the fact that after the shooting happened, like, the next day, this cat dropped a music video called Who Shot at Me, where he's talking about, I'm gonna fucking find you and kill you and shit. And, like, flashing guns in the video. And so it was this bond hearing of, like, what, should we let this guy back on the streets? And they were grilling me on, like, did you see this music video? Did you see him with, like, the gun in the music video? He said he was going, did you hear the part where he says he's going to go shoot these people? And I had to be like, yeah. But, like, but ultimately, yeah, like, it doesn't, I mean, I felt like it doesn't discredit what I have seen him do in the community. Also knowing that a lot of these people, like, I talked to him on the phone earlier today. He was like, yo, if Don Cheadle, like, directed a film that's all about just murder, just mass murder, and he's in the film murdering people, can you put him on, and then later he murders someone, can you put him on the stand and say that, like, oh, you had the murder movie, like, that, like, yo, you definitely did the murder, like, no, it's art. And that was his argument. It's like, yo, it's art, like, I had to, like, show up and look tough because I wasn't gonna let people fuck with me, etc. Like, and that kind of makes sense, but I think to a different level. I want to agree with you, though. It's like, there's a certain sense of, like, bruh, don't do that. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, there's, I guess at some points it can kind of be a fine line between, you know, we always want to look at the macro reasons for why things happen and for why people do the things that they do. So we want to, like, analyze the structures and stuff and understand that shit doesn't just, like, boil down as simple to pull your bootstraps up and you know what I mean, personal responsibility. Not everything fits into that box, you know what I'm saying? So that there's that on one hand. And then there's the also, you know, like, man, on, like, a common sense aspect, you know, there's right and there's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I don't think that there has to be, like, necessarily, like, a conflict in understanding one thing and, or, like, performing one of those, like, ways of understanding the world and the other. You know, I think that you can still, like, look at the bigger picture as to why people do the things that they do and why people feel that they're in the situations that they're in and things like that. And then also
recognize that people make choices.
Like,
also,
exactly.
People absolutely make,
like,
choices.
Yeah, you're not...
And for me, it's really been causing me to reflect. A third thing that really got me thinking about this lately is that it snowed here on Sunday. Did it snow in Savannah?
No,
it snowed here on Sunday.
It just got real chilly.
It was cute. Everybody was posting the normie pics with their dirty snowmen and their cute toddlers. Like, oh!
Yo, the snowmen be brown as shit.
Hell. Brown is nasty. And so I work with some, like, local, like, homeless advocates to, like, get some people some hotel rooms that were, like, sleeping outside. Mm. And that was great. Got a lot of people out of the cold. great. So we were looking at extending their stays for like past when the cold, you know, past when the snow melted or whatever, because we had the funds to do so. But some of these cats got fucking kicked out of the hotels for smoking inside. So one of them brought a dog, and it was just like, God damn it, fuck. But so it really caused me to pause and reflect on, like, because I often talk about, like, the road to quote-unquote collective liberation and how, like, it's a generations-long struggle and, like, it's going to outlast us. You know, it's going to, you know, the next generation is going to go and finish the job. But, like, that sounds really optimistic and rosy, but, like, that's the case because things are going to keep fucking up on the way there. Like, you can get somebody stable shelter and they could get themselves kicked out because they're smoking. Because, like, if you have your whole life getting shit on and beat down, like, a single day of a kind act or even a year of, like, support to stop fucking up, like, is not even enough to help someone really, really get out of it. Like, you know, that cat you saw in the video who, like, murdered a guy on camera and then was, like, wilding out, like, a lot of stuff led him to that point, and it would require a whole lot of shit to, like, transform the underlying conditions that created, put him in a spot where he thought this was a good fucking idea, right? Like, people are gonna, like, we're gonna keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and people are gonna keep fucking up, because it's gonna take a really, like, if we're really serious about, like, fixing a lot of problems in society, like, it's gonna take a real long time, because we're dealing with some real, real bad shit.
That's true, but again, I mean, I hate playing devil's advocate in these situations, but again, you know, if somebody wants to be like, yo, young such and such rapper robbed a bank and then was like flexing on Instagram and didn't understand the blah blah, or like young whatever rapper got into a fight with some cops and blah 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 blah, then I mean, for me personally, it's like, then I guess can be more comfortable looking at it in those terms and shit like that. When we're talking about shit like you shot somebody, like a rando, you know, some rando outside of a bodega, it's like, there's nothing, like, I don't feel that I'm, like, serving any community at large by, like, covering
no,
for you.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm not
for you.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, that nigga, like,
that's some shit to do.
Killed someone,
you know what I mean?
Like, that, like, fuck, yeah. Like, fuck that guy, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, there's a level of personal responsibility to it. And so, honestly, an unpopular take I have on these things sometimes, when I talk to other activists about this, I mean, it goes back to what Frederick Douglass said about it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And so when I talk about, like, transforming society, honestly, I'm not really talking about helping that dude that, like, shot somebody on camera. Like, when you get to that point, like, I don't want to say people are irredeemable. I truly believe that with a significant investment of, like, resources and time to help people like that, they can get better. But, like, honestly, it would probably be a lot easier just to make sure people don't even end up there. Like, let's get the kids.
Yeah.
That's why I focus so much on youth development. Get the kids, get them healthy and, like, you know, ready for adulthood and making good choices. And then in, like, 20 years, we won't have these kind of problems.
I mean, I just try to keep it consistent, you know? So, for me personally, you know what I mean? So, it's like, if I'm looking in the news and it's like, yo, crazy white boy went crazy and took his gun and shot blah, 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 you can give me whatever reasons you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't care why. I don't care. Like, there's nothing that anyone's going to say that's going to make me like, oh, you know, but I guess, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to, like, hear, like, yo, such and such rapper, you know, like, shot this or got into a scuffle and fought or went into a donut, you know what I mean? Like, Young Dolph got shot in the back in a donut shop, you know what I mean? By goons acting like they're in a mob movie. You know what I mean? And, like, allegedly, motherfuckers is dropping singles, like, afterwards.
Right.
So it's just, like, that whole thing is just, like, it's a level of fuckery that I personally feel like, you know, like, hey, man, that there's no place for that. There's really nothing to cover up.
I would agree.
I think what's
different between, like, my approach and maybe a lot of other people that have that reaction, because also it's like, yeah, this person needs to be held accountable. Our system for that right now is jail. Sick. You did it, and now you're going to jail. But, like, a sense of curiosity about how somebody got to that point. Because even if it's like, there's nothing we can do for you, we can learn from that, of, like, How the fuck do you end up at the point where you shoot somebody in the back at a donut shop?
Yeah, and which is why I solely mean that it's like, I feel like it's a discussion like that. I feel like you can still look at the situation and be like, oh, such and such killed such and such. There is a lot, like you said, intellectual curiosity. There's a lot to be gained by understanding why that person was, you know what I mean, in that situation. But like, that's a conversation for like outside people to have, like people who are looking at it as like from an intellectual, you know, analytical standpoint and stuff. The people who are involved in the shit are gonna look at the shit like the people who are involved in the shit. Like, either you're directly involved, hey, my cousin, my brother, my sister was killed, you know, or, you know, I know the people who were the victim of that, and you're gonna react accordingly. So all I'm saying is, it's like, if there are people, if the DA is like, hey, such and such is accused of a crime, and then we have them on tape talking about crimes, so of course they're going to use that as evidence.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying. It seems like they would, whether it's fair or unfair. I don't necessarily think that like the Don Cheadle example is like necessarily like fair, because you got to add some caveats into it. If like OJ made a movie that was like, if I had done it, you know what I'm saying? And then they wanted to use that movie as evidence. I don't think I would be saying, nah, you can't.
Well, I want to use two examples. Well, two things I want to say real quick. First, to respond to that point, and then respond to an earlier point.
Okay.
So Louis C.K. had jokes in his stand-up about masturbating in front of people that didn't want to watch, and everybody laughed. And maybe they thought it was a little uncomfortable, and then they like moved on. And then he actually later really did it. And so, yeah, like, y'all, like, so, but that, you know, but there's a disconnect in, like, oh, you see something like that in a comedy special, you might think it's a little weird, but then you move on. You don't, like, go home and call the police and, like, hey, I think Louis C.K. is, like, sexually harassing people. You know, like,
no,
there's
but
a certain, like, class of person that gets excused from it because their art is, you know, they're millionaires.
And I'm going to keep it consistent and say that that shouldn't be the case. You know what I mean? Like, in my personal opinion, that shouldn't be the case. I don't necessarily know the full details of how it went down and shit like that, but if person X is a Louis C.K. fan, and then somebody says, oh, Louis C.K. did X to me, even if you're a fan, you're like, oh, I don't believe that, I like Louis C.K., and then you got him on tape talking about, oh, I like to do this, I think it opens up, you know what I mean? I don't think that's like, you know, cause and effect or like, oh, that means that person did that. But I mean, if you want to bring that into discussion, I don't see why not. You know what I mean? If somebody's like, Louis C.K. did this to me, look at these tapes where he's talking about it.
Maybe that wasn't a great example.
Like, I think it was a good example. All I'm saying is that I'm just in I can only speak for myself. It's like, I agree with you. I just try to keep that energy. Like, I don't like asking people to do stuff that I know I wouldn't do. You know what I'm saying? So I know that if I were personally involved in some of these situations, I wouldn't be able to look at it outside of that personal, you know, like impact zone of how it affects me and shit like that. So if it's my community, if it's my family member, my friend or something like that, I'm going to have like more of a, like, I'm just not going to be as understanding of these like bigger macro issues and shit like that. So I'm just more understanding when people aren't.
The second thing I wanted to respond to is, you said that what I'm talking about is an intellectual exercise that is done by folks that aren't impacted by violence. And I want to remind you, the listeners, that I don't mean to bring the energy down real quick, but like,
I
started thinking about this shit when my fucking aunt got murdered, man. And like, I was like, everybody was like, oh, she get the death penalty, da da da. And like, I literally could look at my family and be like, all right, this dude's mom has bipolar disorder, is addicted to crack. Like, he grew up in the middle of nowhere, only option was go to the military, where he learned how to fucking use a bunch of fancy guns and grenades and shit, came out, and of course he fucking killed somebody. And so it's like, oh, I could like see the background of this person's life that led them to become a murderer. And so I'm just saying, like, you know, It is probably rare. I mean, like, my opinion is very, very much not the majority or whatever. But, like, there's a lot of people impacted by violence who get, because they lose a loved one or, you know, to incarceration or, you know, violence itself, whatever, like, can see the backward, like, the breadcrumbs of, like, how this shit ended up the way it was.
Yeah. And I definitely don't mean like it's reserved for people who aren't impacted by violence. I just meant like on a case to case basis, based on how it like personally affects you is all I meant. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's a difficult conversation, and it's definitely a difficult topic that everybody's gonna have a different reaction to. All I'm saying is I just personally I understand it. I understand why not everybody tries to have, like, or why everybody, like, I understand why not everybody can easily jump into that proper analytical phase of talking about these issues.
It takes time. People like know it. People understand.
People know it. They're aware of it.
But it's just hard to, like, then channel into, like, a direction where you understand what needs to change through it, like sort of link all that together. But
so I had a story that came up that I wanted to run by you. That's kind of related to, you know, changing systems and stuff like that. I don't know if you saw this viral video, but the Sunrise Police Department in Florida is probing a sergeant who allegedly, right? But I mean, the shit's on tape. I saw the nigga do it.
Oh, shit.
But anyway. They had a suspect that was a white officer, black male suspect, was in the back seat of the patrol car, handcuffed. This veteran officer of 21 years, giant, big dude, he apparently came in. The tape that was released, the sound and audio was out, so you couldn't hear what was being said, but this was confirmed by the police chief later on. He came into the scene, he escalated the situation. And then he pulled out his pepper spray and was getting ready to spray the handcuffed suspect in the back seat. And a newer female officer, like, immediately grabbed him by the belt and pulled him away from the suspect. And he immediately grabbed her by the neck and slammed her against the car in front of all of her colleagues.
Out here, bro. You see what happens to the good apples?
He's been placed on I think non-paid administrative leave, and in this regards to, you know, the props of the chief of that particular precinct has come out and has been like, yo, she did the right thing. This is disgusting. So it's really blatant and really obvious. I mean, he grabbed, like, his first instinct is to grab her by her throat.
Nuts.
You know what I'm saying? And he's like a giant dude, and she's like a regular sized woman, and it's just like, it looked like he's kind of used to grabbing women by the fucking throat. That's
See,
how it looked.
People in the video. Always try to tell me when, like, I'm on my shit, you know, I'm on one about shit, like, oh, well, people always use these, like, stories from other places to, like, say we need to make change here, we don't really have these problems here, but, like, first of all, all these different police departments go to the same kinds of conferences, get the same kinds of training. There we you know, the police chief of one city will go to another city, or a police officer get fired from one city and go to another city. A couple years ago, we had this dude that, like, ran a suspect over with his car, didn't even know if it was the right dude, and, like, got fired and just went to the next county over. And he sued
Tamir Rice's killer did the same thing. Yeah.
And this nigga fucking sued the county for wrongful dismissal and defamation for saying that he shouldn't have hit the guy, and got like $500,000. But anyway, that's beside the point. Although I do want to use that to explain that the Athens Clark County Police Chief announced today that he is leaving. And explain that I have no comment on the matter because you know how you can't give a negative reference for an employee? Like, it's illegal in a lot of places. Like, you either, like, just don't do it, or you have to say something positive, or it's, like, defamation or something.
Yeah, so you can't, your old boss can't be like, Yeah, fuck this motherfucker.
So this guy sucks. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that. But anyway, so yeah, so you get like police officers that go to different precincts, go to different places. You get this, these national trainings that all of them go to and come back to. So it's like a nationally systemic thing, as well as the kind of people like that want to get into law enforcement. And so that shit's wild. That shit is just wild. I mean, goddamn. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about personal responsibility and people inexplicably doing things on camera and on social media that are like inexplicable. I don't know. It must be, you know, maybe somebody way smarter than me is most likely analyzing this shit. But there's got to be some sort of terminology for the phenomenon.
People knowing the camera's rolling and still doing fucking crazy shit.
And still doing shit anyway. First of all, too many fucking cops do that shit. Too many teenagers do that shit. Let's keep it real. Too many girlfriends just go into shit not paying attention to that. What else? You got the fucking the people who stormed the Capitol. Do you know how many people stormed the Capitol and the next day called the lost and found to say that they lost shit?
And it was like,
inside
FBI, how can I help you? Oh, you left your bear mace in Nancy Pelosi's office? Let me go check for you real quick. And they put you on hold, and then it's like knock knock knock, it's a SWAT team. They throw a fucking smoke grenade in the house, and
people are on live streams like in the middle of rioting, like, oh dude, I just got in a fight with some cops, that shit was dope, son. Yeah man, we bear maced this one cop, he's on the ground, he was bleeding, ah son, this is nuts. And then like get arrested, and they're like, oh, how'd you guys catch me? Like,
I will also say, that pertains to the earlier debate that didn't touch upon, a lot of folks that do wild shit like this, not all of them, but particularly the kind where it's like, I shot a nigga yesterday, haha. Like, even if they don't express it, they express a lot of braggadocio, and yeah, I'm the shit. There is a mindset of disposability that people have, where it's like, my life doesn't mean shit anyway. No, like, everybody fucking, like, the whole system thinks I'm worthless. So why don't I fucking shoot a guy on a camera? Like, everybody goes to jail. Like, everyone thinks I'm gonna do something like that anyway. Fuck it. So back to that a little bit. Not to excuse that. It's personal. Yes, it's personal choice ultimately. But like another part of like understanding how we fucking get here in the first place, where you're shooting a cat in the back of the head and donut shop.
Well, I mean, what do you think about the notion of it's like, yeah, it's a personal choice. It's just, I think that we can have an opinion of whether or not it's a good choice or not. You know what I mean? Or whether it's the right choice. I mean, not that you're saying that we shouldn't, but, you know, that's why. It's like I always feel like a sense of conflict on these sort of topics, just because, you know, my father worked for the State Department when I was a kid. I've got family in law enforcement and shit like that. So I'd always, you know, want to give full disclosure. You know, I definitely have that sort of, you know, connection or indirect connection or whatever you want to call it to these things. So it's like, just to, before we move on, just to stress, I always try to like put myself in other people's shoes, just for nothing other than just the exercise of understanding where other people are coming from. You know what I mean? So it's like I understand why some people perhaps may have like a bit more lean more right on these certain issues than perhaps I do. Mm-hmm. You know, personally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I just feel like having that understanding and not just necessarily assuming that it's because they're a shit lib or a right winger, you know what I mean, is helpful in the discourse.
Yeah.
Or whatever that's
called. I would love to understand the underlying conditions that brought this cop in Sunrise, Florida to just like be so aggro that he not only bear maced a handcuffed suspect, but choked his fellow officer. Like, bro, how do you get to that point?
Like, it really looked like some, you know, roid rage, because he's like a jacked up, juiced up dude. You know what I mean? It looked like some roid rage type of like unstable shit for a 21-year vet. So, I mean, I'm just saying, public defenders, any case that this dude has worked on, you
know, y'all need to revisit
y'all
gotta case
re-examine
files.
That
y'all
shit.
Y'all need to re-examine that shit, bruh.
Like tomorrow, y'all need to re-examine that shit. Let's get into another story.
Okay,
I think we got.
I was gonna I'm jump sorry, back think to Kanye.
You think we should just do one more?
Sure. Yeah. We can. Yeah. We can do this Kanye
let's
shit.
Do, let's do
yeah,
the Kanye.
Okay. So back to wondering how the fuck did people get in the situation that they're in? Perpetual shit getter. Kanye West is going to Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin. So. On Tuesday, January 11th, Billboard reported that Ye planned on going to Moscow to meet with the Russian president and hold multiple Sunday services as his first ever shows in the country of Russia. His ultimate purpose for the trip was to begin expanding his businesses overseas. And an advisor to Kanye told Billboard that Russia is going to be a second home for Kanye, which I'm sure the libs are absolutely losing their mind about. if the white ones even knew this was happening, they probably don't follow music news.
Man,
if they found out, they probably completely fucking lose their minds because of Russiagate, whole Trump, Russia shit. People still, you know, I think frequently, and I believe we've discussed this on the show before, whether the Russiagate hysteria opened the door for challenging election integrity and ultimately what happened on January 6th.
I don't. Things. I mean, I hate, again, another topic that's going to force me to be somewhat on the side of the libs, but I don't know. I would not classify myself as being in on Russiagate hysteria or whatever, but I tend to be, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a damn duck. You know what yeah. I mean? So, like, if motherfuckers is like having clandestine meetings and hotels and this and that, and wild motherfuckers is going to jail for lying to this and lying to that, and then every time they're accused, their number one thing is you don't have the evidence to prove that, as opposed to saying no, I didn't do it. I'm just not inclined to think that they're innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just the basis of how I go in. Now, however else this wants to manifest. You know, like, I don't necessarily think having that view means that you want World War III with Russia tomorrow, you know? But with the Kanye situation, it's just interesting because it's like, you know, there's like some pretty fucked up homophobic laws that are like in the book in Russia.
Oh, bro, yeah. The U.S. Department you know what I mean? Like, of State currently lists Russia with like a level 4 do not travel advisory, given terrorism, harassment by Russian government security officials, arbitrary enforcement of local laws. Russia's on the brink of invading or like fucking
yeah, invading
Ukraine
another
sub- and shit.
Ukraine.
So yeah, nah.
It's just all yeah. It's just like I yeah, the whole that's weird. It's Kanye, so you know, weird goes in the book with it. But it's just another addition onto this like right wing drift in this like plausibly deniable right wing fascist shit culturally that's going on in this country. That I think, you know, wittingly or unwittingly, certain celebrity figures are playing into, and I think that's what this is. Because to me, it's like that's always, you know, for the last like 5, 6, 7 years, that's always been like my suspicion of what the Republican infatuation is with Russia now. You know what I'm saying? Which is why I don't care what libs are saying. Yeah, I really don't. I'm looking at what Republicans are doing and what they're saying themselves. Mm. You know what I mean? So if when I was in like early college, if Republicans were like itching at the bit, like we hate Russia, we hate it, we hate it, we hate it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, we love Russia. Russia is awesome. No, it's great. We love it. Yeah, no, Putin would be a better president than an American president, blah, blah. We love it. I don't know. I'm just not inclined to look at that and be like, I can't stand Hillary Clinton. Like, no, no. You know what I mean? Like,
I just feel like there has to be a line somewhere because, like, I mean, I've seen this on Left. We talked about this in the Nina Turner's election. You see this to this day with, like, Bernie Sanders supporters said the election was stolen. Like, when you let that, like, I feel like sometimes when narratives like that are allowed to flourish, like, they are taken up. And even when they are legitimate, but people kind of run away with them, like, it does open up like this grounds on which you can contest any kind of flaw, you know, like actually any sort of working of democracy as such that you don't, whose outcomes you don't like.
But do you think that this is not similar to the like argument about the, you know, the filibuster.
I think it's exactly like the filibuster.
Like
I see Republicans saying the Democrats loved the filibuster when we were in power. Now they hate it. And it's like, yeah, well, fuck. You got, I don't know. They but, like, I mean, if you don't have some consistency, they'll fucking call you out.
But I think, it's, again, it's just a matter of, like, whether you think Republicans are operating in good faith or not. So, you know what I mean? And, like, so for somebody who doesn't believe, so for somebody who genuinely believes that, hey, Republicans would not be talking about the election is stolen, if people hadn't brought up Russiagate and that hadn't been a big story. If somebody believes that, then I understand totally why, you know, you would look at, like, Russiagate with this, like, skeptical, like, sort of thing. I don't believe that.
And
I think the Republicans were going to, like,
drawing, like,
talk about that, like,
whatever. Link between Russiagate and January 6th. I'm saying, like, over and over again, there are these competing tensions between factions where, like, when you lose, you say they cheated. Like, no one ever just loses because they sucked. They just lose because the other people cheated. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, this is also coming from someone that thinks that the left needs to play dirtier because other motherfuckers are way more willing to cheat.
Yeah, it's like,
so
it's
like,
not
I
even
feel
a matter
you.
Of
like,
way more,
I'm not. I'm just gonna,
like,
you know.
The Republicans are just, they are willing to do what they feel they need to do to attain power, and they are not concerned with what Democrats are going to do or not do, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Here's what I'm saying. If the Democrats don't break the filibuster, the Republicans will. 1,000%. The same way we're, like, pussyfooting about with the Supreme Court. No, we don't know if we want to do the Supreme Court. No, we shouldn't push this issue for this person to retire so that their slot can get filled because, oh, we don't know. That's all assuming that the Republicans aren't going to be craven when they get the opportunity to, you know? Okay. So it's all projection. So if we fuck around like not believing them when they say the shit that they're going to do and the shit that they're into, like, the election, you know, election disputes, I think that was coming regardless, because they were disputing the election in 2016 before anybody was really talking about Russia. Before the 2016 election even happened, they were saying, oh, it's stolen, you know? So I look at that sort of thing, that was always going to be a part of their playbook, and that they don't need any excuse. In, you know what I mean? Like, us being like people who are on the left being like, oh man, the January 6th rioters need to be held accountable, the state needs to come after them. We can have whatever objections that we have with it, but I don't think that one of those objections should be, man, you know what? If we keep pushing for the state to go after the January 6th rioters, then the Republicans are going to come after us the next time that we have a BLM march. Like, nah, like, they're going to, you know, they're, like, the minute that they get, the minute, again, they had unmarked black vans snatching people off the streets when they had power. I don't think you even need to say more about that. There was no conservative voice. There was no free speech warrior. None of them had any objection to it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear Joe Rogan say shit about, oh, why are they snatching these protesters off the street with fucking ICE agents from Texas that were in Portland for some strange reason? Why is that happening? Why are unidentified and jackbooted thugs snatching demonstrators on the street? They didn't give a fuck about that shit when it was happening to Antifa guys. So they're ready. They're with the shits. They're ready to use the state to crush dissent. You know what I mean? And if Democrats keep going with shit, assuming, whether it's Democrats or whether it's, like, people who are more radical, you know what I mean? If you assume that the Republicans are playing the game the way that we are, I just think that's how we lose, yo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rap.
No. You just got me thinking about using the state to crush people. Perhaps in closing, I will circle back around to this particular quote that stuck out to me from an MLK speech I listened to on Monday. It was the 1976 speech at the National Conference on New Politics in Chicago. And MLK said, I think it might be a little slight paraphrase, but more or less, as poverty and unemployment rages in the black ghetto, the bipartisan response is an anti-riot bill instead of an anti-poverty program. And it just really hit me, because literally last week, I was talking about the police chief quit this week. Well, last week, as I mentioned on the last episode, I had some choice words for him, at the meeting where I was like, I don't really want to talk to you. I don't really trust you, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because in that meeting, you know, in response for, you know, for years now, decades now even, you know, the Black community has been calling for investment in our people. And, you know, BLM, you know, the uprising 2020 was all about that, all about that. And here we are about a year and a half later, and their response is, well, people didn't like that we used tear gas on the protesters. So we bought a sound cannon to blow their eardrums out and give them permanent neurological damage. Oh, and can we also give every police officer a tactical rifle? So, like, literally today, we're still doing it. And, like, it's the bipartisan response. It's not just, like, the right wing that... Like, I don't even say, like, I don't even want to say, like, Democrats, like, want to use the state to crush dissent. But, like, they certainly let it happen. Like, there was Democrats sitting in this commission meeting, like, tactical rifles for every police officer, like, sound cannon, blow out people's eardrums. Okay, sure, I don't know. Like, why not? So.
Yeah, no, you're 1,000% correct about that shit. I don't know what it's going to take, but. We got to snap out of it somehow. Like, you know, it's really disappointing to hear that every, you know, you told that story last week, and it was disappointing to hear it. Cause it's like to think after all of that marching and all of that demonstrating and organizing that a year and a half later, we talking about tear gas and chokeholds.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's the change. That's the systemic, you know, issues that we're
change
addressing.
Change is always cultural, like, first. Like, you can't, no, like, nothing gets done. Just, it's not like, oh, politicians are just inspired and go fight for shit. They fight for shit. They realize they got to do shit. They're forced to do shit by, like, the masses of people organized. And so, like, a lot of people woke the fuck up and they're like, oh shit, ching ching ching, ding ding ding, like light bulbs going off everywhere. And, like, that's you can't put that cat back in the bag. And so, yes, we have not seen, like, in a substantive way, all of that organizing and marching and getting, you know, thrown to the ground and maced and shit, like, bear fruit. But those people, those millions of people, like, that cat ain't going back in the bag. 10 years from now, that's when shit's gonna get interesting. But, you know, here we are today.
Well, all we can do is, keep hope alive and
spit bars.
I was gonna try to make it rhyme and make a bar out of it. I was gonna say, like, keep hope alive and slap it on the black hand side or something like that. I don't know.
Let's give you some real beats, real bars. Joel!
Mariah said beats and bars. I go hard in the paint. My reach is far. Jeff Jarrett on these rappers like a cheap guitar. I came up in the flames and I keep the scars. Dope Nizzy, except I'm just 1 year older. Been nice with the flow since the daycare stroller. But it got me pissed. I watch Fox. This cannot be it. Keep MLK quotes all about your Nazi lips. They try hard, but it's nonsense. Reparations, give us 5 stars in a comment.
Step towards me and I take a step backwards, cause I don't fight my haters, ain't with the fucking hat. So I ask them to look past it and be mature about it. I'm passive, but that don't mean that I am a coward like Martin Luther, Mahatma Gandhi. I use my words to settle my conflicts rather than try to shoot you. Be cool, bro, cause I'd rather stand beside you than deride you. And I'd rather understand you than I never haven't tried to.
Yo, 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 yo. My name is Dope Knife.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
See y'all next week.
Peace.
Listen to Waiting on Reparations on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.